it's been 2 months, man.
Man, it's been a month.
Well, I mean, month. Well, it's been since we ain't do nothing September. Last episode was mid-August.
So, a month and a half?
Month and a half, almost two, dog. It's been a minute, man. We got to use this part two to get transparent and get honest. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because we ain't really been in the same room at the same time. So, we got to check in with each other. So, Rudy, where you at now in October versus where you was in August?
I'm good. I'm real good, mentally especially. I'm good. My business is great. One of my artists, we just signed a nice little deal, distribution deal. And, you know, that's just a step closer to the goal at hand, and, you know, trying to become, you know, have the best. It just smell good, huh?
Great dude. It just hit me, huh?
Yeah.
But, yeah, nah, it's a step closer to getting to where I want to be. Relationship is great. Like I was telling y'all earlier, I've been celibate for the month of October. So, for the past week, I ain't had sex. That shit is killing me. But I'm good, though.
You
know what I'm saying? I need to do it to cleanse my body. You know, sometimes, I know y'all know as men, we get bombarded with so much shit that sometimes you just got to cleanse yourself just to, you know, get the desire to do it even more. Sometimes,
right.
Especially when it comes to sex. Like, I think it's important in relationships to take a little break from each other for a little minute. So
right.
You can, you know, gain that desire for each other again.
Yeah.
And, shit, other than that, man. Shit, TSU homecoming. You know what I'm saying? Shit was amazing.
Right.
Everything is great, bro. I've been paying a lot of attention to, like, I don't know why I've been on Clubhouse a lot lately.
I can't get on Clubhouse no more.
Nah, but there's been some interesting shit going on.
Yeah.
I was looking at WAC 100. Because I have been seeing WAC talk about this Jim Jones situation.
Yeah.
And, you know, he's been having 6ix9ine on Clubhouse and all kind of shit. And he made some interesting points. So, like, you know, every once in a while, and especially when R. Kelly got found guilty, I hopped back on Clubhouse for a little minute.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just to see what everybody was talking about, people's opinions. Because I kind of like to hear what
everybody talk about
certain shit.
Right.
And, man, it's just a lot of different perspectives. Like, since we've been on the break, I've dug deep into reading and listening to audiobooks. So I listened to one of shit they was talking about R. Kelly's tape, his case.
Right.
The new Aaliyah book talking about, it's called R&B Princess Baby Girl. They call me Baby Girl. And
right.
It was amazing. I didn't know that Aaliyah was actually. She was that. Like, I feel like if Aaliyah was still alive, there wouldn't be a Beyonce. Or they probably would be, but they wouldn't be who they are, in my opinion.
Right.
But yeah, that's what I've been on. I know I'm everywhere with it. What about you?
And then you had the Jazz Anderson album.
Oh yeah, Jazz. Did we talk about that shit?
Nah.
Oh.
That's what I'm saying. It's been a minute.
Yeah, Jazz Anderson's album did damn good. Especially doing it independently. It's called,
You forgot.
I'm sorry. The Experiment. I'm sorry. I've been having so much going on lately, bro. It's just crazy. And that was like, 2 months ago?
Right.
Jazz Anderson Project, we did the listening party like a month ago, and that shit was amazing. The turnout was great. You know, Kill didn't pull up. It's all good.
You know, I'm callers right now.
That ain't an excuse, my nigga.
Hold on. You said to the listening. Hold on, wait. To the all white, right?
Yeah.
What day was that?
Friday. It was on Friday.
Was I doing something?
Nah, you just ain't pulling up.
Oh, man.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? Hey,
hold on. Wait a minute.
Both of y'all niggas.
No, wait. Was I working?
I don't know. Yeah, you were.
Because I just stopped the last job in late August.
That was. I asked you if you were going, and you was like, nah, I got another shift or something. Like right when,
man, that ain't no excuse, my nigga.
Rudy knows it's all love, though.
Nah, it went. It was a great turnout. People love the music. It opened up my mind as far as where we can go, as far as creatively and things of that nature. Jazz. It's just all about consistency at this point. After that, you know what I'm saying? Like, we got a great turnout.
Yeah.
Video. Watch this. It's still in rotation with BET. BET Hits.
Yeah.
So like, it's in rotation right now. We got that one going. We just shot another video. It should be on BET. That one might be on BET Uncut.
Oh shit! They still got BET Uncut?
I wish they did. But
it's so many videos we can just watch that's like BET Uncut now. Like,
nah, but this one different. I ain't gonna lie to you.
Are women naked in there?
They not naked, but
they doing some shit. So the video's already shot. It's
very Twitter after darkish.
The video's already shot?
Yeah.
And you didn't invite me to this video shoot?
Well, you didn't show up to the release.
Oh! So that's payback. I'm sorry. So I didn't come
to the release. Well, I didn't think you would pull up to the video shoot.
Man, you gonna tell me women gonna be half naked and kissing on each other? Now I'm gonna watch that.
See, this is why they call us misogynistic and shit like this.
For the people listening, is the album on all streaming platforms?
Yeah, album on all streaming platforms. Everything. It's called The Experiment by Jazz Anderson. I co-wrote, co-produced, executive produced everything on there. So, but not everything. It's some records that she wrote. 100%.
Yeah. All right, dog. I'm proud of you, man.
I appreciate you.
Yeah, dog, you gotta get your hand clap on that shit, man. You know what I mean? While out here dropping the big album, big project.
But you have another endeavor that you've been putting your hand.
Yeah, that's why the break of the podcast was much needed.
All this shit is his fault, y'all.
Yeah, it was my fault. I'll take blame. That's why we never did an episode. I will take full blame because I said, you know what? Something gotta change in my life, dog. You know what I'm saying? 28 years old. I did have a previous job, but I needed an upgrade. You ever had that feeling? You're like, man, I need an upgrade, dog. Like somewhere in my life.
Yeah.
And I needed that. So 2021 was weird for me, right? So 2021, I think I'm gonna bring this up later on, like towards the end of the year. But like, the first 4 months of 2021 was, all right, I want to do X, Y, and Z. I want to land a good job that's gonna pay well, so I can start my savings to get my own place and do all these things, right?
Mm-hmm.
So when got the new job in March, late March, early April, things was going good. But April 28th happened. And I spoke about it briefly a little, just like a tad bit, but not really in full detail. So April 28th happened, right? That's the day, that's the night I'm out downtown and drinking. Don't feel like I'm buzzed, don't feel like I'm drunk. 2:30 in the morning, I leave. Heading
don't
back.
Drink and drive.
Right, so this right here, this story I'm finna say is this is a message behind this mug. So I'm leaving around 2:30 in the morning, gotta get up for work, and don't feel nothing, none of that. I get in my driveway, and I'm walking to my garage, and I see a big ass dent, and I see damage to the front of my car. Don't know what I hit, don't know how I hit it. Don't know when I hit it, but at some point I hit something that messed up my car. No airbag deployed, no injury to myself, none of that. No cop was around. I didn't hit nobody. You know what I'm saying? So none of these things happened. So for me to get out the car and walk inside my house without a concussion, anything like that, no windows broken, it's like, wow, lose my car. Car's gone. So from April all the way to basically August is like, well, May, basically, I'm going to say May. May to August was like, damn, what the fuck? Like, I got a job, but this ain't it for me. I need to get something else. So, laying this new job, getting my insurance license and health, this is probably the new chapter that opened, right? New chapter opened, got the insurance, and I took this exam. I've been studying for this exam. And when I first got onto the job, I loved it. Good pay, full benefits, work from home, everything. So I'm doing my research. Like the first couple of days, I'm looking on YouTube, like, all right, what's about this health exam, yada, yada, yada. all eyes are stacked against me because I'm not good at testing. They say less than 50% of people that take this insurance exam fails it the first time. And I'm like, oh, damn. Less than 50% of the people that take the Texas State Health Insurance exam fail it. Less than 50%.
Didn't say less than 50% passes.
Yeah.
That's what I said. No, oh, I said pass. I'm sorry. My bad. My bad. Less than 50% passes. My bad.
50% pass. There we go.
So all eyes against me, right? I haven't studied like this since high school, right? Didn't study like this since high school. But end up passing it. End up passing this shit. And now a new journey happened. But to get back to that situation with the whole car situation, dog, what that tells me, dog, not everybody gets second chances. Usually in a situation like that, somebody's hurt, they hit somebody, they get a DWI, they get something. None of that happened. I'm a very spiritual person. So I believe that, dog, God and my dad's, their arms was wrapped around me that night.
Yeah.
For me to not come with no injury, for me to not hit nobody, because that could have ended very bad, either dead or in jail. Could have happened, like this, very possible. Have I showed you a picture, Rudy?
I saw when we had a couple conversations about it. I was like, man, it was.
When I show you this picture, I'm gonna post all this shit. But when you see this picture, bro, you're gonna be sitting here like,
bro.
Your first reaction gonna be like everybody else. Damn,
it's done.
Because you look at it, it's like, how did you get up and walk out this car? This is not supposed to happen.
Like, bro, I thought your car got towed.
Oh, shit.
First reaction.
How the fuck?
Exactly. I did not know nothing, bro. I blacked out.
You hit a pole or something.
I had to hit a pole. But the fact of the matter in that whole situation is that, dog, anybody look at this car is like, yo, you had to have injuries. But it's one of them points, it's one of them things to where it's like, all right, yeah, don't drink and drive. But when it comes to the situation, it's like, man, not everybody granted a second chance.
True.
That's why I always say we're going to talk about the Squid Game show early, but and the message behind that. But I've always said money cannot fully buy happiness, because once it's gone, it's gone. Imagine that night. I won't even be here talking to y'all. I'm talking to y'all on 1-800-COLLECT. With an orange jumpsuit on, bro. Or you at my funeral. Coming to my graveyard or something every once in a while. Pouring a shot for the home. Like, come, like that's what that night could have been.
Nah, no bullshit. Nah, that's the last thing we want.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I got my son, dog. I got my son at the crib. But making that decision that night, driving away from downtown Houston. And I live 30 minutes away from there. Nobody saw me. Nobody was in the vicinity. Nothing. And I'm still here. October what? What's this? The 8th? You know what I mean? So it's like that night was scary, but at the same time, that could have been the best thing that ever happened to me. Because I needed to wake up. I needed to have everything stripped away from me. Because let's say I still have that car. I'm still going out more. I'm still doing a lot of bullshit things I don't need to do anymore. I don't probably get this job. I probably don't even care to get the job because I already got a car. I'm not working for nothing else except trying to save for a crib. Back against the wall, what you going to do with kid? And that's what that night was for me. You know what I'm saying? And I just think that, like I said, I think my dad had his arms wrapped around me that night. You know? But yeah, But that's what's going on. And we're here in October with a new episode.
Brother to brother, man, I'm proud of you. For real. You really stepped up 100%. Like, I'm just happy to see, A, that you're healthy and good, but also that you're waking up and seeing, like, shit, life is too short.
Yo.
You got to put in that work and shit. You got a son.
Yo.
Not saying that you wasn't doing anything before, but I feel like it's a lot more urgency to what you're trying to do now. And shit.
When everything's stripped away from you, dog.
Hey.
And I always had that feeling like, man, it's time to get out the crib. It's time to get my own now. It's time. You know what I'm saying? But it's like, how you going to get it? What you going to do for it? Like, that's what they were saying. That's what God was saying in heaven, dog. He was saying, like, look, you're going to have a couple of bumps. I lost my hubcap before. I bumped the little sidewalks in the past. These are little hiccups. He's throwing me hints. Throwing me clues I'm not reading yet. I lost two or three hubcaps. Those are little jabs. He said, "All right, if Akil mess up this time, I'm gonna hit him with a blow and make him wake the fuck up." That blow that night, that was it. That nigga threw a 2-piece haymaker at me, and I said, "All right, God, I know what you're talking about now. I know you sending me something now. Now I get it. I gotta step up as a man." I remember what you told me to a while back, and I think it was basically saying like, "Look, this is your shit. Be a boss." Basically, remember that conversation we had? Be a boss. You know what I'm saying? Do what you gotta do. Step up. Basically, take control. And that's one of the reasons when I was taking that test, I'm thinking to myself, like, man, this is my future.
Yeah.
It's been a couple of times I want to do an episode, but I say, you know what? If I really, really want to make this brand what I want to be, if I really want to get the things I want to get, if I want to do the things I want to do, I got to just man up and take on the challenge. And that was going through my head. So when they said it, I passed. I had to walk in the back of the room after 150 questions for 2 hours, dog. Walk to the office. Mr. Williams, congratulations, you passed. Nigga, oh my God. Oh shit, like everything is going through my mind. Oh my God, that was my Super Bowl. That was my NBA Finals. Like, that was my state championship I never got in high school. All them times I failed off the team and all, that was it. That was my championship. Like, but I went to the car. You could call Durley. But I went to cry for like, I was in the car for 10 minutes, bro. Like, just sitting there, head on the steering wheel, like, bro.
You did?
I can't believe I passed this shit.
I want you to think about this, bro. Before we go to the next thing, bro, I want you to think about this. We've all shared our downfalls and things that we wish we could change. I feel like this is a milestone that you ran through. The reason why I say that is because you talked about your struggles in high school. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Struggles in college and things of that nature. And I think this was the first time that you were actually able to overcome an obstacle head on and succeed in it. So I applaud you, bro, because a lot of people would have rolled, you know, took their tail and ran. And you hit it face forward and you did something that, shit, 50% of the people who take this test can't do.
Yeah.
You know, they gave you a 1-in-1. I mean, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, for real.
So, like, I applaud you, bro. For real, for real.
Yeah, though, it was a milestone and that shit. Now we here back rolling.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Now we back rolling. We back getting on the topic. There's been so many things that have been going on that I've been wanting to touch on, but I was like, oh, I can't do it. I got to study.
I wanted to talk about that R. Kelly shit so damn bad.
R. Kelly had, but don't they got more trials coming up too, right?
Yeah, they got more trials.
So we're going to wait to the official. We're going to wait to the end of it and be like, you know what? Man,
look, the nigga got, they got him for RICO. He's, no matter what, he's going to do some time.
Yeah, yeah, for sure.
A lot of time. And now they saying he's going to start telling.
Yeah.
So I wonder who else fucking with these little girls.
Exactly.
That's wild, man.
Yeah, it's pretty.
The fact that he got anything else to tell is wild. Like, man.
The downfall of his, you know, celebrities be having downfalls and shit. Pussy, drugs, you know,
his
murder.
Girls.
His is little kids, dog. Your downfall is R. Kelly's kids. Nigga, that's your downfall, bro. Come on, man. You are Kelly. So now you got to just think about all the lyrics we all recited after him.
Look, it's a song, bro. Whenever y'all get a chance, if you can handle it, go listen to this song. You remember Your Body's Calling Me?
Yep.
Oh, shit.
Go listen to the remix.
Oh, damn.
Go listen to the remix with Aaliyah.
Oh, nigga.
Aaliyah is 13. No, 12 or 13. Oh. And she's singing background with this man.
Ooh.
When y'all listen to it.
I forgot she was that young when they first like made music and stuff.
Ah!
When they made Age Ain't Nothing But a Number, she was 13 or 14.
Mm-mm. He was giving the signs that time, bro.
He was telling us.
He basically snitched on himself. But you know what it was?
No social media.
I guarantee you.
It was some other people that had that thought, but didn't
say nothing.
No, and you know if it was TikTok back in the day, there'd have been one little boy at his house,
man, but
recording
look,
like, hold on,
but
this don't sound
this
right.
was killing me. The man just got sent to jail. He's guilty of all charges, and his stream numbers went up 500%.
That's how it is.
Luckily for this man, he don't own his masters no more, so he don't get none of that shit. But yeah.
That is ooh.
Yeah.
I can't even think about it, though. But I know we're gonna talk about that in the
near future. Yeah,
in the near future for real. But there's a hit show that I feel like everybody has seen around the world.
Yes, we watched that shit in one day.
Squid Games.
Yeah.
Now let me tell you something. I don't want to just give away the show. We ain't gonna do that. But
spoiler alert before you post it or something.
Yeah, it's a huge spoiler alert. But I just want to get on the messages behind the show. And I mean, okay, so for people that didn't see the show, there's a show made that was in Korea. Don't want to mispronounce the name, so I'm not going to say the name. There was a writer, he wrote this type of show back in 2009. Then nobody picked it up, and all of a sudden it's 2021, and now it's the biggest show in Netflix and maybe in its history from the first season. Still don't think it's better than Stranger Things, but neither here nor there.
I was just about to ask you that.
That shit.
Is Squid Games going to be the new Stranger Things?
It's more entertaining to me.
And it's a worldwide thing.
Yeah. Is it a different country?
It might be. It's early now, but we're going to see. That was my question.
Like, see. I thought about it. That skit, because my friends hit me up. Because I've been talking about all my stories. They're like, hold on, you gonna abandon Stranger Things? You gonna abandon it? Now that's what I'm gonna say.
Man, that shit is 10 times better than
See, that's the disrespect. We can't forget. We can't forget how impactful Stranger Things is. Because the one thing I will give this show that I compare it to the Stranger Things, that it's different, like how Stranger Things was different. Stranger Things was led by the main characters was kids. And it was all audience, all genres could watch it. And it was sci-fi, and it was different.
Nostalgia, too.
Exactly.
The time period that it took place in.
Right.
70s, 80s.
Stranger, Squid Games is a different show, too. So it's going to be like, whoa. It's going to catch everybody by surprise. But I want to talk about the messages behind it. Because I feel like when you watch this show, we all know somebody that's an ain't shit father. We all know somebody that was smart as fuck in high school. Who was a has-been, and they down bad in life. We all know a gangster who sometimes fake or whatever, but pussy could be his downfall. We all know a ratchet-ass woman that could set a nigga up. All right, you fuck with me, I'm going to kill you. And actually do. You know what I mean? We all know somebody like that. And we all know an old wise man. We all do.
But I think that was the whole point of the show. I don't think this would be a spoiler. But I think the whole rhetoric of the show was talking about like how the system uses all of us in different ways.
Yeah.
It plays off of us. Because, you know, damn, I don't want to say too much. But nah, fuck that shit. A lot of these motherfuckers already seen this damn show. Because
episode 6.
They say this the highest rated
Netflix show
ever. So y'all niggas have seen this shit.
Already figured it's Stranger Things.
But Stranger Things season 1 was just as big. We can't forget about it.
It's cool, but this shit a lot better. I'm sorry.
See, they say that he ain't watching things.
I couldn't. I couldn't.
Exactly. Exactly. So Monday can say more about it than you can. He ain't even watching. Talking about bigger than Stranger Things. Look,
too late, bro. It's still on there, man.
Oh yeah, it's still on there. It's season 4.
Season, yeah.
But it's so many. It's my okay because you could get a lot of messages in there, right? And then we gonna just talk. We gonna just break down the shit. All right, we know how the first episode was, but dog, how episode 6 went? Because when you watch the show, it was like okay. There's so many things about this show I want to talk about.
The fact they got people come back, like money hunting. Like,
right. And money doesn't buy happiness. And I say this a lot of times. And that's what this show to me, that's if you have to get one message from Squid Games, that's mine. Right? Because we talked about the last episode with the old man. Because before that episode, we all felt bad for the old man. We was like, he wise, he knows this, he got that going on. He's like Yoda from Star Wars. Episode 6 what got me, and I'm pretty sure he got a lot of views. Oh my God, we teaming up, but one of us got to kill each other. over some marbles, dog.
But nah, I ain't gonna lie to you. Let's rewind a little bit. How the fuck did he? How I thought I was like something up with this old nigga. Cause first of all, how did he know the first game was
red light
gonna be?
Yep.
Like he just had it like off the rip, and that yeah.
And if you I'm gonna stop before you go because you go to episode one. I remember I first watched it when I watched that episode, and you watch him play the game. You notice he stops a little bit before they say red light. I want you to go back and watch. I peeped it. All right, keep going.
Shit, also, shit, when they started going to a whole damn melee, I can't remember what episode it was. How the fuck did he get on top of the goddamn...
He made no moves to help nobody.
Bro, his shit was damn near already set up. He was already at the top. And then they go check this nigga. He wet himself. Now, go back and watch that episode. This nigga had a fucking water bottle right next to his head. Where the fuck he get a water bottle from?
Yeah. And you notice when he got on top of that bed, when he said, stop, stop.
I'm scared.
That front man stopped it too. Right when he said it.
Why would they stop it for this nigga? If they wouldn't stop it for anybody else.
Right.
That's number, like, it was a whole bunch of things that made me look at it like, man, something ain't right. And then they showed everybody else getting shot. They did not show him getting shot. And I told my girl, I said, he ain't dead.
Right.
But I cried, though. I was in the bed at 3 in the morning crying.
Damn, that nigga got shot.
I cried, dog.
They ain't kill no old man like that.
Be honest, though. Episode 6, I will say this. Out of all the shows I watched in my life, I have never watched a full episode that was so heart-stopping. The whole episode 6 was like, damn, like it got you. Because you knew some characters were going to die. And you just knew, and I might be on myself on this one. You just knew when they say they're going to team up, one of y'all got to die. I feel like we all pointed to the old man like, damn, the old man got to die. Yo, who we knew the main character wasn't going to die?
Yeah.
I looked at that shot, I said, God.
I knew.
Because
according to him, he was dying anyway.
Yeah.
So, yeah. All
right, bro. Take this L.
Now, damn. I can't lie to you. Well, okay. Let's get through it first. First of all, why this nigga fucked? Why did the gangster... Fuck the crazy bitch.
They took no showers.
None at all.
Ugh.
I was like, bro.
Dirty feet.
The fuck?
Smell that. Can you imagine what that restroom smelled like? That stall, nigga.
You fucked this bitch. And then was like, yeah. You should have already knew off the rip. She was giving you signs. I am crazy.
Yeah.
She told you I would kill you, bro. Any woman that look you in your eyes and tell you, I will kill you.
Leave.
Man, leave that bitch alone. You should have stuck with her.
Nigga, that bathroom smell like expired raw sushi.
Raymond,
nigga. God damn, bro. Ugh. Yeah, I don't know why. Like I said, to a gangster, pussy was his downfall.
I mean, I think that's all gangsters.
Pussy's their downfall, dog. He should never fucked her.
Man.
If he didn't fuck her, he'll be alive. He probably would have won. If you really think about that whole Squid Game, he was the most dominant figure out there.
Nah, but he couldn't think with his mind. He could only think with his aggression. He didn't know nothing else but aggression.
Yeah, that's all he thought.
And that's how he died, if you really think about it.
That's why somebody just making it off talent without putting in work.
Exactly.
Yep, that's what he was. Damn.
Exactly.
But nigga, the last episode, though.
That pissed me the fuck off. That pissed me off. Okay. We knew she was going to die. Let's keep it on.
Oh, the biggest star now. The one that died in the last episode.
We knew she was going to die.
The one that sung Wu Stab. When he went, remember?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, we knew that she was going to die.
But not like that, though.
Nah, we knew she, some kind of way we knew she was going to, either she was going to die, bleed out, or he was going to kill her.
Yeah, because remember she had that little glass in her.
And I think in his mind, he was like, well, shit, let me just go ahead and get her out the way. Because that's all we waiting on. Let me get her out the way.
Yeah. Dog eat dog.
Yeah. So, okay. The last game is the Squid Game. This is your cousin or whatever.
I think that was his son who was younger than the main character. He used to take him to school and shit. He knew his mama. Yeah.
We already know that he fucked up all of these things. Why, when you got this nigga beat, you know he's trying to kill you? Nigga, a couple, not even a couple, hundreds of billions of dollars is on the other line. All you got to do is get this nigga out the way. Matter of fact, you ain't even got this. Get this nigga out the way. Walk. All you gotta do is walk. What does this nigga do? I can't do. He about to die either way. I can't do it. Take care of his, you can take care of his mama and everything. I'm screaming at the TV, bro. If you don't get your bitch ass over across that little shit and get where you need to be at to win this damn money, bro, he already tried to kill you. He tried to sabotage you. He killed your partner. Let this nigga die.
But you know why, Rudy?
Man, fuck
you. You know why? We know why Monday. Dog, all money ain't good money. But I understand.
No, I agree with you. I agree with you. But in this situation, nigga, you went through all this shit, man.
Let I understand that. But peep this, though. Just I understand when you come. Cause I was pissed off, too. Because I was watching it. And he did this. And I'm like, nigga. God, let's go. I thought he stabbed this nigga. But then I look, he did it in the dirt. I said, oh, fuck no. Because I'm thinking like, yo, I'm like, bro, he's trying to get you. But in his heart of heart, him as a man. Because remember, he was going to try to go over there and kill her. But the girl was like, that's not you. That's not who you are as a person.
Yeah.
And he's really not a killer. Because, yes, they all fought all these gangs. They went through blood. They went through days, weeks. No telling how long they went without shower, bathing, nigga, brushing your teeth. You went through all that. Breath stinking and all, nigga. You went through all that shit. And you still didn't kill him? You got the money. But he didn't. Remember, he didn't feel right afterwards. Remember, he was like, he wasn't the same. So he had to get a new start. He had to get the hair. And he gave the money to his mom, the son Wu's mom and everything. I just think, man, like we said.
No, all money ain't good money.
Money doesn't buy happiness, though. He wasn't happy after that.
But you got to remember, also on the road to whatever riches and fame or whatever you're doing, it's going to be situations like this. That's why they say more money, more problems.
Yeah.
Because the things you probably have to do in order to attain that amount of money. But I want you also to look at, when it came to the show, the VIPs, quote unquote, were damn near like the cabal of that whole situation.
Yeah.
And if y'all know, they were talking about different games in different other countries. They talking about Bangkok or some shit like Beijing games. So, you know, it looked as it, to me, I felt like this show was more about how oppressors oppress.
Yeah.
Like you said earlier, everybody knows a skanky female. Everybody knows this gangsta ass dude. Everybody knows the dude that just make fucked up mistakes and got a gambling problem or whatever it could be. Everybody knows the athlete that could have made it but didn't.
And everybody know a nice guy that let the world take advantage of him.
You see what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. How do the oppress. Through the whole show, you could see how everybody was gonna die.
Yeah.
For real.
Damn. Yeah, you do. Cause the nice guy Ali got took advantage of us cause he was nice.
He died the same exact. I think, hold on, am I right or wrong? When he got money from the dude, Sung Woo.
For the bus fare.
Yeah. Well, hold on. Something happened where he got some fake stones or something like
that. Yeah. So remember, Sung Woo gave him fake pebbles.
He thought they were marbles.
So nah, but before that, he died. We might have to take that part out. I got to look again. But something correlated toward that. When they left the first time.
When he went back.
The first time when they left.
Because he grabbed some money from his old job, right?
Yeah.
He fought his manager or something like that.
Something of that nature. And he.
Yeah, because he didn't get paid from his job. And the person, the boss was like, man, I ain't got no money. But it was a stack full of money right there. And he took it. And then the boss got his hand cut up in the damn one of them little mechanical things or whatever. His hand got caught and his hand was all, ugh. Yeah, so that's what happened.
A lot of this shit correlated with each other. So, you know, I think it's a deeper message to it all. But that was a good-ass fucking show. I ain't gonna see him. But
if I think of all season ones out of any show I watched, that was the craziest season one to any show. That was I'll put it like this. I'll just say this because we got to see a full four seasons of Squid Games. But I would say season one of Squid Games was a bit better than season one Stranger Things. I will, because it caught me off guard. It's a deeper show than Stranger Things.
I'm going to try to watch Changes, man. I just couldn't get into it the first time.
But that's how it is, though. First couple episodes, you're going to be like, But the end of episode two, going forward, you're going to watch it. It's always like that. That's how it was when I first watched it. I was like, oh, I can't get into this. But it's going to happen. It's going to happen. I liked it. Moving on, though, because I did like Squid Games. I just hope we ain't spoiler for everybody. But, man, we don't give a damn. It's all on TikTok anyway, so it don't matter. They know about red light, green light. I do want to. I don't get really sportsy sometimes, but I get on it every now and then. So I just touch on it since we've been gone for like a month and a half. Deshaun Watson. I have a theory of a team that I think he will go to. Not saying now. I think it would make sense on both the Texans side and the Raiders side. I didn't get this from nobody. You heard it first from me. This is my prediction. I think the Raiders. The way the Raiders is going right now. I'm about to throw a team out there. I would think Vegas Raiders will be the most sense for Deshaun Watson. Reason being, John Gruden, fourth year in his 10-year contract. He needs to fucking win. You don't sign a 10-year contract and you don't win. Derek Carr is good. Like, yeah, he's good, but he's not a Super Bowl winning quarterback. I think for the Texans side, it would make sense for the Texans to make a move for Derek Carr. Because this upcoming NFL draft class is weak when it comes to quarterbacks. I don't believe in Spencer Rattler from Oklahoma. I don't believe in nobody else that comes from North Carolina at all. And I don't believe in Alabama quarterbacks. So let's get that straight. So that's not happening. You're looking at the Houston Texans and you're looking at like, damn, how can we get better? You upgrade with Derek Carr because Davis Mills sucks. He's not good. He never.
And the fact that they really were talking about building around this guy.
Yeah, it's comical. So if you Derek Carr, it's not a lot of pressure here. Yeah, okay, your brother played, but that was 15 years ago. We don't care no more. You better than your brother. So you come here, not a lot of pressure. You get to build with a team that's not here to win now. Vegas, John Gruden is like, yeah, Derek Carr, you good, but I need that guy. Reason being, look at your division. Pat Mahomes, Justin Herbert. How the hell are you going to get Derek Carr cannot get past those two teams, right? You know what I'm saying? Justin Herbert is already better than you. Justin Herbert's in his second year.
Yeah.
If you're going to compete with them and win a Super Bowl in Las Vegas, you got to get a guy like Deshaun Watson. You got to. You got to give him some picks. Give a couple of your interior line. Give him some O-line. And it makes sense on both sides. You know what I mean? Deshaun, I don't care about off the field shit. I'm talking about strictly football.
Man, so there's no way that we can get there's no way that Deshaun to come back.
Oh, he's done. He's not playing in Houston no more. He's not playing. Yeah. It's done.
That's the thing, too. People have probably forgotten he didn't want to be here to begin with before this season.
Yeah.
For real?
Because of the whole front office situation.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I think
people have already forgot.
Yeah. John Gruden, he wants a guy like Deshaun Watson. He got to compete in the division. And then look outside your division. Look at all the contenders right now. Majority of them is young mobile quarterbacks. Kyler Murray, Arizona, they're doing good. Pat Mahomes, Justin Herbert, Josh Allen, hell, Baker Mayfield, all these young guys. Hell, in 3 years, the Cincinnati Bengals going to be a contender. In 3 years. Like, you know what I mean? Jacksonville in 5 years. So all these guys, it's going towards that way. Derek Carr he's good. He's third tier, but he's not top. He's not Deshaun Watson.
Okay, can we keep it real? The Texans are going to forever be a mediocre team for as long as their existence. As long as Shane McNair, what's his name?
It's about Cal.
Cal McNair is the GM. I mean, the owner.
Yeah.
We will never be a winning franchise. I think we should all get that out of our heads at this point.
That's true. You know what they said
about this is it. Like, this is what we'll be having for the next 30, 20, or 30. I predict the next 20 years, the Texans won't be a thing anymore. I feel like the Texans are going to move just like the Oilers did. I think this is what we got. And this is – how do you fuck this up?
Yeah, it's pretty bad.
How do you fuck this up? You had the best wide receiver in the league, and you had the probably the best fucking quarterback in the league.
You can argue it. Top five for sure.
You for sure had one of the best linemen in the league.
Ever. And you had Clowney. And if you want to take it way back, you had a Pro Bowl left tackle, Duane Brown.
That's why I just said.
Oh, you're talking about him. Oh, okay. Well, you had on the defense, you had Clowney and J.J. White. Come on, dog. You don't mess that up.
Matter of fact, no. You had two of the best wide receivers in the league at a certain point. You had Andre Johnson and couldn't get the job done. And you just had – you just basically gave away Watkins. I mean, not Watkins.
Hopkins.
Hopkins.
Yeah.
For a bag of Skittles.
Yo. Yo.
I'm going to tell you why I know that this is what we're going to be for the rest of the existence of as long as Cal McNair is the owner of this fucking team. They tried to make David Mills. That's his name?
Yep. Davis Mills.
They told Tyrod Taylor, oh, you're just holding it down for David Mills to get his shit up under him. But we knew David Mills wasn't shit. And you... So, look. Tyrod Taylor gets hurt, and you start David Mills. This nigga is fucking shit. He's garbage.
Yeah, he's garbage.
This nigga, he shouldn't even be in the fucking NFL, if you ask me.
Yeah, he was probably surprised that he was picked third round.
Can't. This how I know this is where we're going to be at. Because really, all they want is a white quarterback. And we're just being completely...
Yeah, for sure.
Cam Newton is out there.
Who he is, I forgot about that, man. That would have made so much sense.
Makes perfect sense.
You can get this nigga on penny on the dollars.
Because he not playing.
And they're not going to get because they want a white quarterback.
Yeah.
They would have had a chance in these games if they losing.
Hey, you know the excuse right now they're saying why Cam not signed because he don't want to get vaccinated.
That's bullshit. That is bullshit.
Yeah, of course it is.
That is bullshit. That's probably the situation that was in the paper. But if you're the Texans, you what options do you fucking got, bro?
Yeah.
Yeah, like we're literally losing. I feel like either we're losing on purpose, which is that very possible. But who gives a fuck? We don't even own the fucking draft picks for next year.
We don't. That's right.
We got a first round pick by somebody else. By somebody, it depends on how the other team do. We got a first round pick depending on how the other team. I don't want to quote the team, but I don't know what team it was. But first round pick depends on who the next what the other team got.
What the fuck are we doing? This shit, bro. The Texans are a fucking joke.
We could run the organization better. Just play Madden. We could run the organization.
Oh my
better.
God! And Madden sucks this fucking year. If we just being honest,
yeah,
that's a whole nother conversation.
I'm gonna say something that I've been thinking about for the last 2 years. I'm gonna just go ahead and say it. The Houston Texans is the worst ran organization in all of sports, not just football
of all, time.
But in all of sports. NBA organization. I don't see one worse than this. MLB.
You can't even say the Knicks are ran worse than
this. The Knicks are ran. They make the Knicks look great. Oh, my God. Like, I would want, like, they are the worst ran organization. And, man, at this point, give me Jerry Jones, my owner.
Yeah.
I would take him. I understand why Cowboy fans can't stand Jerry, but damn it, at least he cares and knows football. Yes. At least he's engaged.
Yeah. He might fuck him up while they there.
Yeah, but he's gonna get him there.
He's gonna get him there.
He's gonna give you a fighting chance.
I would take Jerry Jones in a heartbeat. Give me Jerry Jones, please. I would take that. We got a guy that I heard from a reliable source. Reliable. All Cal McNair do is drink, fuck his wife, and play the video games in his office. That's in his owner's box. That's all he do in his office in the NRG Stadium. He plays the video game. Because you know why? This team wasn't his. It was his daddy's team. And it was inherited to him. And you really think he's going to give this team up anytime soon? Hell no. But guess what? Like I always said before, I'll take Timmy Fertitta as my owner for the Texans.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Do you know what? If you, Timmy Fertitta, I would like, look here. He could buy it low. It's cheap right now by the Texans if you're a rich man. Oh, it's not a $2 billion organization. Take this team, buy it. First of all, he should be like, first thing we're going to do, we're going to burn this shit to pieces, and we're going to move this shit somewhere else. And then we're going to change his uniform. This shit's horrible. Let's bring back the Oilers look a little. Let's bring it, not the same, let's bring back
the slack. Oh, you talking about tearing down the
No, tear it down. First of all, it's in a bad area anyway. It's off of 610 in a bunch of traffic. Put it out there by the Woodlands, somewhere out. Look at the Cowboys. It's not in the heart of Dallas.
Yeah, it's in Arlington.
Arlington. You know what I mean? Look at the New England Patriots. It's not in the main city. It's in Foxborough. Like, don't put it in the heart of Houston. Yeah, like, this is the worst ran organization in all of sports. And it's not even close.
I agree, man.
This is, how do you fuck this up? You pay Brock Osweiler all your money. You can't sign nobody. You trade Dwayne Brown to get another left tackle, the same position. It cancels out. What are you doing? Like, what are you trying to accomplish as an organization? You had to look at yourself in the mirror and be like, as a owner, what am I trying to accomplish? Why do I want to put this type of product out for my fans in this city? You look at the home games, they're like preseason games.
Bro, they put Titus Howard in. You know, Alabama State, I believe he played tackle.
He shouldn't have been drafted first round.
He would have been there second, third.
And that's fifth. He went to Alabama State. And look, I love HBCU. You know that.
He was going to go to the team either way.
First round pick is a franchise-changing player. I swear to God, I would bet money. I really believe that he went to Alabama instead of Alabama State. That's my real belief.
Hey, I wouldn't be surprised, bro.
Yes, we got an Alabama boy. Sir, he went to Alabama State, not Tuscaloosa. I really believe that's what happened in that draft room. Because he didn't even go to Grambling. So I had this thought for like all week about black people being crabs in a barrel, right? And I want to get deep. So tell me if I'm making sense. Let's look at sports, for example. So we always see the conversation, debates around LeBron versus MJ, Mahomes versus Watson, but mainly LeBron versus MJ. It's like you can't like both, right? Right? Tim, please tell me if I'm making sense when I say this. So we look at a lot of athletes. It's always black players versus a black player.
Going to the Dave Chappelle thing.
We're going to do it after.
Okay.
So We always see the black athletes getting debated about all the time, but we don't see like baseball players or anything like that in nature. We can't say it's not popular. So I want to say that, why do we think about it? Why do they always publicize and pump up the NBA draft and the NFL draft? Right? Especially NBA. I feel like we always gonna stay in that bear because of, we always got to like one or not the other, right, in a sense. Because they don't publicize the MLB draft. And when we look at sports, we get penalized different. They let them fight in hockey. They let them fight in baseball. But they don't let them fight in football, basketball. Because it's predominantly black and they want to try to control us. And they want to keep us in that barrel. Because think about the draft. You start off as a young kid even getting ranked in school. You got like one and not the other. Am I making sense? I'm trying to make sense.
I mean, I'm
crap. Like when it comes to sports, in a way,
I'm trying to understand exactly what you're trying to.
So, I'm saying that the mentality of us getting out of there is not going to happen. No, think
about getting out of where though.
Think about the crap being black people being crowds in a barrel. Like put it for example. Look at music. Donda versus CLB.
Well, like, that's competition. Like that's like when you look at music, it's just a competitive. It's everybody wants to be the best musician they can. Probably that's the competitive nature of hip hop. Hip hop was based off of competition. Which DJ was better than the other DJ? Who can rock the party better than the other? You know what I'm saying? So like, even when it comes to sports, as far as basketball or football, especially basketball, I feel like it's just a competitive nature. I think it's more competition than it is anything. Because with baseball, I don't think it's too much. It's like, shit, if you can hit the ball better than the next person, Yeah. Like, you know what I'm saying? It's still a competition thing, but I don't think a lot of black people are engaged in the MLB or hockey or shit like that. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I'm just trying to see.
I don't think it's a crabs in a barrel type of mentality. I think it's more of like it's competition. But even then, like if you look at, I feel like it's competition within. It's gonna be competition within anything because you need a selling point, and B, bro, when I was looking at something, they were talking about LeBron and Lenny Cook.
Yo.
They didn't have no competition amongst each other, like personally.
Yeah.
But one felt like they was better than the other.
Yeah.
They didn't voice that, but the media made it seem like, well, you got Lenny Cook and you got like that. Right now, they got Mikey Williams and Bronny. Like they supposed to have.
They trying to pin them against each other now.
Yeah.
Already.
But it does nothing but help the other athletes, because now you get more notoriety and things of that nature. I think it just speaks to how great these athletes are than anything. You know what I'm saying? And it's up to them if they want to take that on the chin or not. You know, but that's just how people, like you was talking about the Drake and Kanye shit. They really got problems with each other.
Yeah.
They not really on no personal shit. It's just that one feel like he's better than the other, and the other feel like they better than the other.
Right, right.
I don't think there's nothing wrong with it. I feel like the crabs in the barrel situation comes when somebody loses terribly. No one loses in these situations.
Yeah.
No matter what, whoever gets picked in the draft, nigga, both of y'all are able to take your families out there, whatever situation that y'all in. Y'all are all moving on to make a lot more money. Shit, even with the Drake and Kanye shit, who loses? If we being completely honest,
nobody.
So I don't think it's a crab in the barrel. Okay,
I just want to see if I'm tripping or not. All right,
Now how they do it, and I think the actual system and how they do it, like a damn near slave trade. I think a slave draft. He's 6'5".
Yeah,
250. Solid muscle, da 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 da.
Long limbs.
Yeah, like I think that's
thick build.
Yeah, long limbs.
Yeah, you got these kids out here like that. I feel like that's more of a problem than us against each other.
Yeah.
But that's a whole nother conversation.
Right. Okay, I just want to know if I don't want to stay too long. I thought I was tripping, so I was tripping. I was trying to make it make sense, but I do want to touch on Dave Chappelle though, because not just the whole stand up. I ain't watched the whole thing, but he's the GOAT.
GOAT.
Oh, yeah, that's not, we can agree on who's the GOAT on that.
He's the GOAT.
Yeah.
I don't want to hear nothing.
Yeah.
Can't nobody. Man, did y'all see what this man did?
I haven't watched it. But
okay, we can't talk about it fully.
I just want to touch on
that dude is the GOAT, dog.
I just want to touch on how this National Black Justice Coalition want to go against what take off the stand-up off Netflix because he said about the baby situation. But in me, I was going to say is, damn, we could be our own worst enemies.
It wasn't the baby situation. He said some other.
That's about the LGBT.
Y'all got to watch it to get a better understanding. First of all, LGBTQ, LMNN.
Oh, Lord.
Y'all niggas is too sensitive for me, dog.
This generation.
I'm going to tell you what. As growing up, let's just keep, like, first of all, what is comedy?
It's art.
Right? It's something to where
you express yourself.
You can express yourself, and also you can laugh at life.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
And it was a stress relief. It was therapy. It was therapeutic on the stage at one point.
Exactly. For all of us. Because when I was a kid, I grew up chubby. I'm still chubby. They make fat jokes all fucking day.
Yeah.
I don't, man, fuck Martin. He just talks about fat people. No. Bro, that shit was hilarious.
Yeah.
I take that on the shit. If you can't laugh at life, you're not living.
Yeah,
so
dog.
Like the LGBTQ, the trans community, in the beginning, they're not listening. In the beginning, he said, listen to me. Listen. My problem isn't with you guys. The problem is you guys don't listen.
Yeah.
The man the whole time showed nothing but respect to the LGBTQ in the fucking trans community. He gave the utmost respect to him, and it was still a problem.
Yeah.
It was still a problem. And if you ask it, like, I was on Clubhouse earlier, and I actually had to ask him, like, what is the problem? Like, what is a respectful way to talk about you niggas? Everybody around, like, you want to be normal, but when it's time to be normal, it's a problem.
Right.
I feel like we looking at some kind of, looking at any kind of stand-up or any comedy show or movie or anything like that, I feel like we all felt like, damn, that nigga talking about me.
Right.
In some kind of way. And even, we can laugh at it.
Even back to the show, when he had the show, he...
Yeah.
Everybody.
When keeping the real goes wrong. I'm sure we've all had a situation where like, damn, shit, yeah. I've done that before.
Yep.
Why is it different from a y'all? Why? Why all of a sudden you can't talk about gay people? Like, no one sees nothing. And then when you say something like that, well, you know, our people is being killed. Our people is being killed. Nigga, before you gay, you black. It's niggas getting killed every day just for walking down the street.
Yep.
Y'all niggas is dying too. So, like, I'm just saying in general, man, when it comes to, like, we're so sensitive as a fucking generation in general, like, you can't even joke no more. Why can't we joke anymore? Like, nah, for real, like, really, I hate it because y'all haven't seen the show, so y'all don't really understand how small of a fucking, it wasn't even
yeah, bad. I saw the first half of it.
No, you gotta see the ending.
I'm gonna finish it.
Is where, like, if you can see somebody getting mad, you knew, like, them niggas is going to be pissed. And even during the time, it's like, you can see where they're going to be pissed because they're so sensitive. But he's paying respect.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm not going to give it all away. But, yeah, I'm just tired of these niggas, man. I ain't going to lie to you.
Like he said, too, he, like, the old school gays was more tougher.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, that's what it was, Stonewall niggas. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, that's what it was.
Man, look, I got my roommate in college, me and Chris' roommate in college was gay. And when we got in that motherfucker, he told us straight up, hey, I ain't gonna lie, I don't like none of y'all. I don't look at y'all like that. Yes, I am gay. After we got that conversation out the way, we was cool than a bitch. That nigga put us on all different types of hoes at PV. I swear to God.
Yeah.
I swear to Jesus. And we was cool even after college.
Yeah.
And we ain't look at it like that's my nigga.
Yeah, I got some. I know people that's gay that I'm cool with. You know what I'm saying? I went to school with, high school, college, all that. You know what I'm saying? Work with coworkers. You know what I mean? Like, and the thing is, when you talk to some of them, a lot, the ones that we know personally, they don't have a problem with. They could watch Chappelle.
Yeah.
But it'd be the head people. It'd be the white gays. You know what I'm saying?
Listen to me. This is how deep it was. I was on Clubhouse and I'm listening to this trans nigga. He said, so they was asking him, like, man, you know, a lot of other people have spoken about, you know, trans, made jokes about trans people. Why didn't y'all go after him? Well, you know, he's the big fish. Your agenda, you've already showed your hand in your agenda.
Yeah.
He's the big fish. What? You got more civil rights than black people.
Right.
And you not understanding, you're black. So those civil rights don't even go to you, to be honest with you. When the cops pull up, they not looking at you and saying, oh, he's gay. Nah. Leave him alone. No, nigga, you're black.
Yup.
I'm sorry, y'all. That shit really pissed me off. Because I'm listening to this man. I'm like, y'all are ruining art. This was, like, amazing, bro.
He's a goat.
This was amazing. I'm looking like, man, this nigga's up. I thought the last two was off the chart. This shit was crap. Yeah.
He don't have no bad stand-up.
Not one.
Not one. He ain't got one.
He don't refurbish jokes.
Brand new.
Yeah, dog. Like
Cat Williams, he be saying the same jokes and different specials and shit like that. He don't know that shit.
You know, no, Dave Chappelle, when it's all said and done, he's the greatest of all time. I mean, the older generation is going to say Richard Pryor, which I understand. I respect Richard Pryor. But, I mean, our generation, our era is going to be Dave Chappelle. And I just think going forward with stand-up, I don't know after Dave Chappelle. I don't know after this because comedy is starting to get too political with this shit now. It's like you can't be yourself. Can you imagine Raw and Delirious in this era? Can you imagine Live on Sunshine Strip with Richard Pryor this era?
No, can you imagine Patrick O'Neal?
Come on, man. Come on, man.
Patrick O'Neal. No, Bernie Mac.
Yeah.
They would hate Bernie Mac right now.
They would.
But that's why I said it's so. I don't know if people don't understand. I don't know if people understand how important this is a moment, if you ask me.
Yeah.
And Dave Chappelle and Netflix are holding it by the balls. If they stand on this art, I feel like it's gonna change the spectrum when it comes to all this sensitive bullshit.
Yeah.
Comedy has never been sensitive. Nah. If you can't take the heat, get the fuck out the kitchen.
Yeah.
That's how I think that's how it's always been, even down to, like you said, the Richard Pryor's, the Red Foxes, the Seinfelds, the know, all of these individuals who played.
Oh my God, George Carlin. That's one of my top five.
Come on, dog. Like you can't make jokes anymore.
Come on, man.
No one can be joked about. And it's not even like it's offensive.
Yeah.
It's not offensive. We are laughing at each other.
Right.
That's what brings all of us together. And yeah, man. Whenever y'all get a chance, I can't wait for y'all to watch it. When y'all watch it, let's have a conversation about it.
I'm gonna definitely finish it. Yeah. Last topic. We pushing 30. Rudy, you know you. I'm asking this because you in a relationship. You know, I think we talked about it before in the past, but. You know, they say science say when women push 30, when they get to 30 plus, and I met women that's been over 30, and their sexual level is like higher than girls that was my age in my mid-20s. Hey, man, I think now, dog, pushing 30, you're going to think about, you know, spicing up the level with your girl, hitting that notch like, we're going to take it a step up.
Yeah, I ain't going to lie to you, boss. My girl is actually 30.
Okay. I thought she was 29.
Nah, she's 30.
Okay.
I'm about to turn 29. And.
So you notice it changed?
It ain't even no change. That shit is just what it is. I'm talking every fucking night. That's why I got to cleanse myself.
But that's they say.
Give me a month. Let me just chill for a minute. Just a quick second.
But they did say women, when they get that 30 mark, women are more freakier in the bed. Because the drive, that's when they supposed to get that baby. You know what I'm saying? It's hitting that. Because I was like, man, when I was dealing with chicks over 30, it was like doing some shit that I never, you know.
I don't know what it is, but that fucking switch comes on.
Yeah.
Like, this girl, when you, when she hits 30, really and truly, when she hits the 28, 29, nigga. Go ahead and start getting ready to take some of these pills and shit.
And some women women's sex level is high before they hit 30. I met some women before 30. It was like, you know what I'm saying? I was 24 dating a girl. She was my age. She handcuffed me to the bed and shit. You know what I mean? Like, she was on that. She was a prison officer. And she was doing, I'm like, God damn. I never had that happen before. Licking my nipples and shit. I'm like, man, what the fuck? Never happened, but I'm like, dog, this shit, some females be, you know.
See, and then the thing, too, is niggas be working hard. And sometimes, like, you just be tired as fuck. And you gotta dig deep.
Yeah, dog.
You gotta dig fucking deep. You know what I'm saying? Niggas be working their ass off. So,
it's a difference for sure, dog. I'm telling you, gotta hit that when they hit 30. You know, you got.
I'm going through right now. I'm really thinking about just going ahead and shooting the club up, so I have to slow down.
You might have to,
that
bro.
That ain't gonna do shit, but make it even worse. Cause when they pregnant, they fucking hormones go even crazier.
Exactly, dog. You might have to, bro. You might have to, dog. Cause look here, I'm telling you, females. Look, me and Rudy talked about it. Look, I've been the most advanced dude when it came to the business. All my partners, I've been the most advanced. I was doing things before.
Yeah, you eating ass before all of them.
Before, but I had my. Look here, I had my partners. He was like, man, look, I'm not gonna deny it, bro. I'm not gonna deny it. See what I did with a chick. Like, yo, she was, like I said, she was 31. I was 23. And I said it. They get past 30, they sex levels up there. I'm telling you, dog. Look here, man. It's you'll see. You'll see.
Shit, but, it ain't. I'm going to see. I'm going through it right now. Man, I tell you, I literally had to take some time off, bro. I had to tell. Hey, let me cleanse. Actually, she sent me a post. She was like, you know, they got this detox where you just drink water and chill out on sex and looking at sex and shit like that.
Yeah.
So I just been. Yeah. Yeah. Just rejuvenating myself.
We'll
going through the home stretch. My birthday coming up, man.
Yeah, what you going? Well, we'll talk about it off the air, but yeah, dog. You know, we'll see how it is by like December when it comes to like just the sex life, bro. I'm telling you, you're gonna probably.
Nah, I'm good. The sex life is great. It's just you get tired sometimes.
He gonna hear me like, man, bro. She licked my nipples, bro. That was the most crazy shit ever, man. I'm like, man, you should have been doing that, man. I got that shit done. I'm 23.
I can't even picture myself, hey, licking my nipples.
Man, Rudy, come on,
nah,
bro.
I ain't doing that.
Rudy, dog, for real? Dog, your girl can't lick. She can't. Bro,
I'm barely okay. Cool with eating her ass.
Rudy got spicy up, bro. That's what I'm talking about. Man, we need to grow the fuck up, y'all. We got to. I know it's some of my people that's listening that, you know, that's been, that they got their nipples. They taking a step up with a chick.
This nigga kills a different type of nigga.
Bro, I'm just saying we gotta spice up with the chick. It's their that bedroom, that's their palace.
Okay.
That's their palace. I'm not gonna say do every and anything with them, but I'm just saying at least spice it and make it.
What more can you do to eat ass?
Okay, you can eat a chick ass. Get your nipples licked, bro. That's the next step.
That ain't got shit to do with her.
Man, she could. I bet she would do it. She'll do it, bro.
Why would I have her? All right, child, the Real Deal with the Kill podcast. This has been great on all. Check us out on all DSPs, YouTube, Spotify, Apple Music, podcast, all this shit,
real
man.
Real quick, before, who going to win the fight tomorrow?
I ain't gonna lie, Tyson Fury.
Fury.
Okay.
Fury.
Okay.
We both want Wilder to win.
I want him to win, but I know he's not.
Yeah, Fury.
I know he's not. Right, last time, so.
Get that on tape.
Okay, oh, bet.
Yeah. And then Jared Anderson. Y'all check him out. He's on the undercard.
Who?
That's, he a bad man.
What's his name?
Jared Anderson.
Okay. We'll watch
a bad man.
I'll be here early for it.
I'm going to the Shakur Stevens fight.
When is that?
The 24th.
Where?
Atlanta.
Okay. Yeah, so I'll be here. I'm gonna bring my Terramana tequila and Highway Vodka. I ain't forget about you. But yeah,
we need some more Highway Vodka.
Yeah, what?
We need some more Highway Vodka.
We do. I ain't been over there since.
See, we need to make that happen.
We gonna get it happen. Real Deal with a Kill. We out.